Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So far, sermon text. Let me see it. In Christ Jesus, who is the only begotten Son of God the Father, to fellow redeemed. One of the greatest blessings God has given to us human beings is our children. And as I've learned, also our grandchildren. Everything we have, own, or use, comes from outside of us. But not our children. They're part of us. They're our body, our flesh and blood. They have our personalities, our looks, our blood type, our DNA. They are our sons and daughters. But unfortunately, by nature, they're also sons and daughters of someone else. Every child, by nature, is conceived dead in sins, blind to God, enemies of God, children of Satan. And that is why we need to be born again. That is why we need to apply the gospel message of salvation not only to our children through baptism, but also to ourselves through the powerful word of God. Preached a written word. That way we change from Satan's domain to God's kingdom. From the chains of darkness to the chambers of glory. From being children of Satan under God's wrath and condemnation to children of God under His grace and forgiveness. In our study of this Paul's letter to the Galatians the past few Sundays, we have seen that Paul is fighting against the so-called Jewish Christians who are saying that Paul didn't preach the full gospel, which means not only do you have to have faith in Christ Jesus, but also have to be obedient to all the Old Testament laws, the ceremonies, and the regulations. Paul is so upset and so frustrated by these Galatians being hoodwinked by this false teaching that he writes this in the first few verses of chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? The answer, of course, is very obvious. The Holy Spirit worked in their hearts to the gospel message of salvation through faith alone in Christ Jesus, not while they were dead in their sins, thinking that they could be saved by their own good works. Paul then continues, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. The Jews were not really spiritual children of Abraham by descent, by being born Jewish. They were spiritual descendants only through faith in Christ. Paul further writes, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that brings us then to our text this morning, Galatians 3, 26 to 29. Paul now directs both the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians and says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Does Paul then say, You're all sons of God because you were born a Jew. You're all sons of God because you were circumcised. You're all sons of God because you keep the Old Testament regulations and ceremonies. You're all sons of God because you attend church regularly. No, those who are sons of God are so because of faith in Christ Jesus. That truth and that statement should certainly humble those Jewish Christians who so prided themselves in the fact that they were sons of Abraham and gloried in the works that they did. This statement would also strengthen these Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians in the confidence that what Paul proclaimed to them was the full gospel of salvation, faith alone, in Christ Jesus as Savior. These Gentiles were at one time, Paul says, far off, strangers, foreigners from the kingdom of God. But no longer are they aliens or pilgrims or strangers to God. They are his sons and his daughters in a new, intimate, adopted way. What a relationship they now have, equal to the Gentiles as children of God. And this relationship is there, as Paul says, not because of their faith, not on account of their faith, but through their faith. They are sons and daughters of Christ, of the Father, Heavenly Father, because they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Even as God said this about his Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," he declares that through his only begotten Son, his children, his sons and daughters, are well pleasing to him. Paul continues in verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." To be baptized into Christ is an expression which we can understand only if we understand baptism properly. Baptism is a means of grace. It's a means in which God bestows and gives and showers upon us his undeserved love, the gifts of salvation that he earned for us. Forgiveness, everlasting life. That's all ours in baptism. In his gospel, baptism creates faith in the hearts of some. Paul calls it washing of regeneration. In baptism, it strengthens the faith of some. Paul calls it the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Romans 6 we read, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Christ's death is our death. So Christ's life is our life. When we were baptized into this family of God with Christ as his heart and core and center, we were also clothed with Christ. As it were, Paul says, we wear Christ. We put him on like a garment. Not only were we born naked physically when we were born, we also were born naked spiritually, with no goodness, no righteousness of our own. The only sinful clothing that we had was the same sinful clothing our father Adam had, our sinful flesh. But in baptism, we get a whole new set of clothes. We get the clothes that Christ gives us, his righteousness, his garment of salvation, which he showers upon us through his gospel message found in baptism. So when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see our stinking sins. He doesn't see our corrupt nature. He doesn't see our abhorrent thoughts. He sees perfect righteousness through his Son. On Calvary, when God looked down upon his Son on the cross, he saw all your sins. He saw all my sins. He saw the putrid stench of the whole sinful world and condemned His Son for those sins. But now in Christ, when He looks at you and me, He sees us whiter than this robe. In robes of righteousness and perfection through Christ Jesus. Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians 5. For He made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And that great exchange is also pictured for us in Isaiah. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So you and I as Christians wear Jesus. We wear His forgiveness, His righteousness, joy, peace, His shed blood, salvation, everlasting life. That's how God sees us as His baptized sons and daughters in His Son Jesus. And as such, as our theme says, as such we then live as sons of God. And the first point that we just studied is, what's the essence, what's the source of this blessing? Only Jesus. And the blessings of this relationship is seen in the next verses. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Christ there is no male or female, there's no rich or poor, there's no young or old, there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no slave or free man. In our society there's all kinds of differences, of course. There are those of different nationalities and races, sexes and social standing, different roles, rights and freedoms, some which God Himself established in His Word. But in Christ, we're all one. Equal in every single way. Sinners that have been redeemed only through Jesus' shed blood. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In Romans 10, he writes, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Paul is again in these words attacking this false teaching that somehow it's our works that saves us. Some are better than others in their good works, and therefore they're in a higher standing in God's eyes than others. It doesn't matter what one does as a Jew or a Gentile, as a male or a female, as being free or slave, rich or poor, young or old. Nothing we do makes us righteous in God's eyes. We're His children alone by faith in His Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul here again is pleading with these Jewish Christians, turn away from building up your faith upon this keeping of the law, ceremonies and regulations. And the Gentile believers, he's telling them, rejoice in your freedom. Rejoice in your unity that is yours for the Holy Christian Church, all believers in Christ. Paul concludes this short little section by going back to the beginning. He says, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Christ was Abraham's seed. Therefore they and we also are Abraham's seed. Paul wrote much the same thing in his letter to the Romans, and he was trying to tell the Jewish people that being of Israel doesn't mean that you're of the nation of Israel, physical descendants of Abraham. Being of Israel means that you're a spiritual descendant of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. say that again. They are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. The Jewish believers have nothing over the Gentile believers. They're all Abraham's seed through one thing, and that is through faith in Christ Jesus, not through physical descent. But Paul says even greater yet, we're all heirs. We're all inheritors of this promise. So as children of God, do you realize? Do you know? Do you truly understand what is yours? Right now, what you possess and what you have when eternity comes, everything God gave to His Son is ours. An everlasting kingdom where we'll rule with Christ for eternity in peace and joy and happiness and contentment with no sin, sorrow, no suffering, no death, forever and ever and ever. So, all this is ours because we are baptized sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Why then does Satan and our sinful flesh so often get us to live as if we were orphans? As if we had no loving Father watching over us. We live with fear, anxiety, doubt, and worry over our future and the future of our children. We have an eternal future assured for us. As children of God, we have a loving Heavenly Father who protects us, provides for us, preserves us, and has promised us everything that He has given His Son. An eternity of peace and joy. And life here on this earth under His loving protection. May we confidently live with these blessings and with these promises in mind so that we can daily live as sons and daughters of God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.